This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Hoss Spencer is live in studio, the founder and the editor of The Hook, online at readthehook.com. Did you see that snow today? Did it amount to anything? It wasn't much of anything.
I saw that snow. It was looking very beautiful, and at one point, it was kind of like microscopic snow. Did you
notice
that? Yeah,
very fine,
tiny,
kind of dusting. It was beautiful.
Tiny. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I actually had to look outside for a minute and say, what is that? Is it rain? Is it sleet? Is it? And it was snow, Hawes.
I know. And one of the meteorologists.
Like a fairy kind of snow.
A fairy snow.
Yeah.
One of the meteorologists from one of the local TV stations called me on another matter today. And I said, hey, what do you call this microscopic snow?
Yeah, there's got to be a name for it. I'm sure the Eskimos have a name for
it. And she said, microscopic snow. Thanks a lot.
Just a very, very fine snow. Now, you're the weather expert. You and Brantley Usry, you hang out, you do the town. What's the word? Where are we going with this weather? Is it going to get colder, or are we going back to last week that I really liked?
I like sweater weather. When it's winter, it should be winter.
Yeah, but we got gypped this year. We got all this year's snow last year.
Yeah, well,
we're not looking at anything serious then.
I don't think there's much coming up.
Yeah.
If that's what you're asking.
That's what I was asking. So I got to ask you about this, too. You were actually out there, Hoss Spencer, where these brush fires were taking place a few days ago.
Well, yeah, brush and a barn bit the dust.
And you were out there.
I was out there.
All right, what happened? Okay. Did you just like smell something?
No, actually, I went to drop...
Because people should know, you were actually on the scene before the fire department was.
No, that's not true. No. Another guy was
Let's
on
just
the scene.
Say you were.
No. But actually, I wrote a story about a guy who was on the scene long before the fire department was, and he wasn't too happy because he thought that they ought to be deploying water when they got there, and he thought they could have reined it in quickly.
Yeah. Now, tell us when and where you were. What
oh, well, I just showed up much later. I was dropping off a child at a birthday party at one of those subdivisions that line Dick Woods Road near I-64.
Going down to the old dump.
Heading down to the old dump.
Yeah.
And the
transfer station, I guess they say. That's the politically correct
term.
No,
now it's called the Materials Utilization Center.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. So the subdivisions there, are the first one on your left is the Rocks.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
nice views of 64 from those expensive homes.
Dude, but they all, okay, check this out. They also have views of the Blue Ridge, and off in the distance, you can see Piney Mountain.
Which is what?
Piney Mountain? A big mountain, probably, that has some pines in it.
Oh, well, very nice. You pay extra for that view.
Yeah, actually, one of the firefighters turned me on to Piney Mountain. He said, look over there. It's kind of like a lone mountain.
Oh, just sticking up. Is it part of the Blue Ridge or beyond Appalachia Way?
It's it's off to the
all right, okay.
Well, off to the side,
Mr. Geography. So you get out there and you see these fires burning.
Yeah.
You see the smoke?
Well, actually, it was like a big field fire at that point. It had it was just racing across the very dry fields, and it was burning them up. And it was
literally the ground is burning, the grass is burning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a big long line of flames. You can see the pictures on your website.
Yeah.
Readthehook.com. It's amazing. It's because the wind was so strong this weekend. Could you literally stand there and watch the fire moving across the ground?
Oh, yeah. It was moving. You know, it moved like a foot every couple of seconds.
Holy cow.
It was just crawling. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the Blob or something. You know, it's like this unstoppable beast.
And it just stretched all the way across a field. Far as you can see, Hoss.
Yeah, and what was interesting, though, is it burned up this neighborhood where there's only one family full-time living there. It was a 40-lot.
What are you saying?
I don't know,
40-lot subdivision.
I've already had
and
one.
And they're all like, what have you had today?
I've already had my beer.
Already?
Yeah. Well,
it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
I just got out of work, and then you call me up. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Where do you drink it when the whistle blows at 5 o'clock? Where do you rush to? Where's your watering hole?
We do the little office beer to celebrate production day on Tuesdays.
Oh, so people keep the bottles in their drawers, as it were.
Pretty much.
Like, just like an old traditional newsman.
Yeah, a little flask. In my sock.
There you go. So you saw this fire racing across the field.
Yeah.
And you scream. And you run.
I screamed and I shook my head and hands.
Yeah.
And fanned the flames. No. But I saw the citizenry. They were out there with pitchforks and shovels.
Nice.
And they, but see, like I said, there's only one house in the ragged mountain subdivision that's occupied by actual humans.
So it's like vacation homes.
So, no, it's the only three houses.
So animals live in these homes. Is that what you're saying?
No, two just happen to be sort of empty. One, the family's moving, and the other, I don't know what's up with
okay.
it. But anyway, the citizenry were kind of streaming in from the adjacent neighborhoods trying to pitch in. There were a couple of guys on John Deere tractors trying to carve a little fire line. There were a couple of guys who had just come back from a UVA basketball game, which was a victory on Saturday,
against
by the
Virginia
way.
Tech. How
against
about
Virginia
that?
Virginia Tech. And they were beating it with shovels. And, you know, but
did you get in there and help, or did you stand by newsman style and watch and
actually,
take pictures?
As a matter of fact, I was able to put out part of the fire with my shoes on Saturday.
Did you take your shoes off Egyptian style and smack them on the ground, or were you stomping?
No, I just stomped. You can stomp if you have good thick
soles. So it wasn't a raging fire that was...
It's not like when you see, you know, in like Yosemite or somewhere where, you know, they drop that red magenta stuff off the helicopter and it never does any good.
Yeah, and those fire people like parachute into the forest.
It wasn't like that. The only trees that burned were the trees that were already dead. Those are what the old timers called.
But I will
snags.
Say, I live in Ivy, right near you, and I smelled that fire all weekend.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you could really smell it.
It burned several hundred acres. In fact, at some point Saturday night, it jumped the ridge and started heading down towards the Blandemar Farms subdivision.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Down 29 South.
Yeah. And then at that point, the forestry department had brought in at least one bulldozer, maybe more, and they started carving a fire line. And that was pretty impressive because that was like an 8-foot wide swath. Where they bulldozed through the woods, and then they had boots on the ground, and I watched the guys fight it, where they would kind of keep it from jumping the line. Because it just kind of crawls across the what do you call that, the litter of the forest floor?
Yeah, yeah. Could potentially be, is it still burning out there?
You know, there may be a few hot spots here and there, but I think with the chill and with the microscopic snow might
it put a microscopic end to the brush fire.
Right. But, you know, that's an interesting thought. What you're talking about is that there can be little pockets of fire where you don't know it. In fact, or I shouldn't say in fact, in opinion, some of the neighbors believe they know how the fire started.
I'm Coy Barefoot, and I'm glad you're here. We're talking with Hawes Spencer. He is live in studio. Was this your favorite show when you were a kid? Facts of Life, Hawes.
I liked it all right, but Coy...
You were hot for who? You had a crush on who? Tootie?
I liked Joe.
You did? Really? Interesting.
Well, because she...
She got very big as she got older.
No, she didn't.
I think they all got big as they got older.
No, Tootie. Tootie got big as she got older. And so did Blair. She's the one who wore the... Nobody listening to the show has ever seen the show, so let's move on.
But you seem incredibly well-informed.
Unfortunately so.
Now, you're well-informed as well about how those brush fires started, right?
Right. Well, some of the locals have some theories going on.
Okay.
The 29 of the 40 lots in that subdivision were foreclosed upon by their lender last year.
Ouch.
Yeah. And a firm bought them up. And has been gussying them up for resale. And over the past few weeks, they've been conducting a bunch of burns for limbs and brush and stuff.
So they've been burning stuff over in the neighborhood.
That's right.
As of late.
But I talked to the boss or a partner in the partnership, and he said, you know, we didn't burn Saturday. No. It was too windy for that.
But did they burn Friday and just leave it sitting? Hello?
They, according to a neighbor, they had burned just a couple of days earlier.
Well, there you go. That's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Well, it's not exactly proof positive, but it's
can you,
a... It's
can
a,
you go back and trace it, like, and see where the fire started? Couldn't they just go back and look?
It started from the burn pile, according to the neighbor
who
saw it.
Well, there you go. Get you a lawyer. For the person who lost the barn, at least, was it like a nice barn? Were there animals stuck inside? Could you hear squealing?
No, I saw a trailer inside with some propane tanks and some other stuff.
They didn't blow up.
They didn't blow up. I was kind of scared. You know, like I was there like the morning after, and I thought, what if I walk over and look at the tank and kaboom?
Yeah, that is a little nerve wracking. I wouldn't go near them. You never know.
Have you ever seen MythBusters? They found out that liquid gasoline is not as vicious. You know, remember in the 70s, whenever there was one of those car chases, the car would tumble a few times, and then
it'd go,
and then as soon as they would get the person out of the car, they'd run, and then they'd kind of do this flying leap, and while they're in midair running away from the car, the car would just completely explode. And Mythbusters tried to recreate that.
It doesn't work.
The only part of gasoline that's explosive is the vapors. The vapors.
Not the gas itself.
Yeah, it's really...
Well, now listen, I would beg to differ because I have actually gotten burn piles started in my backyard sometimes by just pouring a little gasoline on it. Man, that thing goes up so fast.
Scary.
And you've done the same thing in your backyard.
True, but they tried to do it with a car. And, I mean, they were even trying, like, firecrackers and flares and things.
It still wouldn't blow up.
The tank itself just doesn't want to blow up. And they even tried also to, like, run a car where the tank was, like, leaking a bunch of gasoline. Would the trail of fire race up to the car and make the tank blow up?
Does in all the movies.
Doesn't really work on Mythbusters.
Yeah, interesting. Hawes, you heard me talking to John Whitehead earlier about this really sad case of this kid who killed himself in Fairfax County because he got suspended. Because they found that he had bought a single capsule of some little pill that is actually legal. It's
serious?
Not illegal.
I just caught the tail end of that, and I thought you guys were talking about like the spitball kid.
That
I didn't
case
know.
Too. Yeah, yeah. There's man, all that too. Man, it's a different world now in these schools.
Man, when I was a kid, you had to like. I got suspended for stink bombing the lunchroom. So. I guess, but that was fair because, you know,
What did you eat that day, Hoss? What was going on?
I don't know. I actually had these stink bombs that I bought in Lynchburg.
Oh, of course, Lynchburg. Stink bomb capital of the South, right?
Exactly. That's what they call Lynchburg.
How does a stink bomb work, actually? You light it or you just throw it? Or?
Well, the kind I had were like this little capsule, a little glass capsule with like some sort of sulfuric smell inside of it.
Oh, and you just thought... Hey, this will be great.
This would be fun.
I'm going to stink bomb the cafeteria.
Yeah.
So you did that.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. Were you nervous?
Well.
Was it in your pocket? Or
actually, I let a friend stink bomb the cafeteria for me. I stink bombed the library and the main hall. But they were
at the same time? Was it a coordinated assault?
It was like three times during the same day, basically.
Oh, my God.
And I had.
See, you know, that school just reeked.
I had kind of mouthed off to a few people and told them that I was... The stink bomber.
Oh.
And then they hotboxed me.
The stink bomber.
They kind of Gestapo'd me. They put me in a room. And they're like, we know you're the stink bomber. And I was like, nope.
So what was your motivation? Were you wronged? What happened?
I just had stink bombs, man. It just seemed sort of zany.
Now, see, nowadays?
I'd be like.
You'd be in prison,
I'd be
Hoss.
In jail, wouldn't I?
You would be in jail because they would say you're like a terrorist.
Yeah.
And you were trying to burn down the school. That's what they would say. That you tried to burn down the school because they would make a case that this stuff is flammable somehow.
Who knows? It would be interesting. You never really hear about kids getting suspended for stink bombs anymore.
No.
These were the good ones.
Maybe the Lynchburg factory went out of business. I don't know.
But I went. My brother had hooked me up with the stink bombs. And
yeah.
I went and visited him at UVA. He was a student there, undergraduate. Around the same time, and after I got suspended, he went and he stink bombed his English class in New Cabell Hall, and the professor walked in and said, "Woof, let's take it out on the lawn." And so they got to have their class under a tree on the beautiful UVA lawn. So clearly, I'm just a guy who doesn't really understand the proper use of stink bombs.
Because clearly, there's a way to do it.
There's a right way and a wrong way to
where
stink
you
bomb.
Don't get suspended, you get rewarded.
Exactly. He got rewarded.
There you go.
Me.
You should write a manual, the stink bomb manual. How to not properly stink bomb
the
your
stink
school.
Stink bomb manifesto.
There you go.
Did we ever finish up on the fire?
I have no idea. But Hawes, you know what? Peter Chang, you broke the news that Peter Chang is finally going to open his new restaurant in Charlottesville.
Can you believe it?
Any day now.
Storied Peter Chang, man of myth, legend, and
Chinese food.
And Chinese food who attracts stars and foodies from all over America, including Calvin Trillin.
People
the New York
literally
Times.
Fly into town to eat this man's food.
And they can take a flying leap on March 1st or March 2nd when it opens to the public, actually. March 1st is more the VIP event.
Okay.
At the
so
North
it's Wednesday, Ring. March 2nd.
Yeah, that's
opening at the old Wild Greens location, Barracks Road North.
Correct.
Is this true?
This is true.
How about that? Is Peter Chang actually going to cook the food, or did he just train people and See what I mean?
You know what? He doesn't speak English, so everything everything you get from this guy is
from
his translator.
We don't really know if he's definitely going to open or not, right?
His translator says he's going to be there and making it happen. But, you know, he's an ambitious guy, and maybe he'll...
This is the most famous Chinese chef in America.
Yeah, but he's made some noise down in Atlanta, too. So maybe he's trying to...
Open two restaurants at the same time.
Could be.
Now, you've had this food.
I have.
I still don't understand. What? Chinese food is Chinese food, isn't it?
No, that's
What's
the
so
thing.
Special about it?
The spices. Why am I using a German accent? I don't know.
Hoss, before we let you go, we'll play a little Dead or Alive here with Hoss Spencer on this lovely Tuesday afternoon.
All right.
And you know how we play. I'll give you the name of a celebrity. All you have to do, Hoss, is answer the question, dead or alive? And we begin with... this.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
I'll bet you.
Alan Young played Wilbur Post. That was the man who was Mr. Ed's friend. Mr. Ed, of course, was the horse in this famous TV series.
Mm-hmm.
So is my question for you, Hoss Spencer, is Alan Young dead or alive? The man who owned Mr. Ed.
I think both Mr. Ed and the man are both deceased.
I don't know about the horse. Chances are that horse is long gone in a glue bottle somewhere, I would imagine, or probably stuffed in somebody's living room. Alan Young, though, is very much alive. Guess how old he is. Yeah, because this was forever ago.
86 and a half.
Close. He's 91, healthy, vibrant, kicking it years old. How about, let me get this one ready, and I'm going to ask you if you think this guy is dead or alive. This, of course, is Tony Orlando singing with his backup group, Dawn, which is actually two women.
Yeah.
One is Da and one is Mwan.
And I've got to see what is and isn't mine.
Do you remember the Tony and Orlando Dawn variety show?
I sure do.
Yeah.
They would sing this song probably like
every week. So, Tony Orlando. I don't know about Dawn, but is Tony Orlando dead or alive, Hoss Spencer?
Tony Orlando is still rocking.
He is indeed. He is indeed. Guess how old he is?
He's probably only about 73.
He's 66 years old. Very close.
Okay.
Indeed. So, what's he doing now? Is he just like playing Branson?
I don't know. I mean, he had a couple. He had like one or two other... story songs. You remember that Yellow Ribbon? That's kind of what launched, isn't it? This whole notion of Yellow
Ribbon. Tying a Yellow Ribbon.
When people are away.
Yeah. And there was also...
wishing for them to come home.
There was also this one.
We were very happy.
This was a huge song. You remember this?
Well, at least I thought we were.
This was... I remember this. I can remember singing this song on the Jungle Gym as a kid. 7, 8 years old. This was like a huge hit in the mid-1970s.
And therefore,
on the
it
radio.
Our time today.
Yes, indeed. This is a classic.
Oh.
From the still alive 66-year-old Tony Orlando and or Dawn.
Gypsy Rose.
There you go. You got it. That's absolutely correct.
It took me right to the very end to figure it out.
But you had it. And there you go. How about Renee Richards? Renee Richards
was born Richard Raskind.
Hawes, I'm so impressed. You know all about this transsexual.
I grew up in the 70s when the Battle of the Sexes was raging furiously. And who could forget when Renee Richards was breaking barriers as the first transsexual tennis player?
Indeed. And Renee, the first transsexual tennis player, Renee Richards, dead or alive?
I'm thinking alive.
Sorry about that. I had to get my my crowd awake there. Indeed, Renee Richards is 76 years old. And really quick before we run out of time,
yes.
David the Bubble Boy. He had an immune disease. They made a movie about him. His full name was David Vedder.
Yeah.
Sadly known as David the Bubble Boy.
Sadly.
David.
I think that's my clue.
David, well, I just mean it's sad that's your name.
Yeah, Yeah, he died, I think.
Yes, he did. He died when he was just 12 years old in 1984. Hoss Spencer of The Hook.
Way to
joins us on occasion to have a good time. Hoss, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Coy.
And y'all have a wonderful night. Be good to each other.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.